now, to top off your day, it's time for the Bible Answer Man with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. We're blessed to have you join us. Today, we'll discuss a controversial topic that has drawn a clear line between traditional evangelicalism and cultic groups disguised as legitimate houses of worship. Our guest today is Thomas LaPaca. Mr. LaPaca's story is an amazing testimony of God's sovereignty and faithfulness. Your phone calls will only add to the discussion, so call now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's your host for the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
And Tom LaPaca is Executive Director for Communications and Public Affairs for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he is he's an old friend. We've known each other for quite a long time. Delighted to have you in studio.
Thank you, Hank. It's a pleasure to be here.
You wrote a book, Out of the Shadows, which chronicles your story out of cultism to the cross. And you make no apologies for saying that you were once a member of a cult.
Absolutely. I was a member of a cult for 30 years, and I thank God that He has brought me to the truth in Jesus Christ.
One of the first times I ever laid eyes on you was when you actually set up a meeting with myself and some of my staff members with other members of the Worldwide Church of God.
Yes, that was, I believe, around 1993, 94.
Almost a decade.
Almost a decade ago. It was during that time when the Worldwide Church of God had gone through this radical transformation as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit. And what we were trying to do is get to Christian leaders like yourself and tell this wonderful story.
What was it like for you to meet with Christian leaders when you, in your own mind, were going through this incredible, tumultuous change, and now you had to go and meet with Christian leaders, and you probably didn't have too much of a clue as to what to expect?
No, but there were many like yourself, Hank, that were very welcoming and very reassuring. As I mentioned in my book, I grew up as a Baptist, a Southern Baptist, for 18 years. And as I began to meet Christian leaders like yourself, D. James Kennedy, and others, in a way it was like coming home. I was coming back to my roots. I was coming back to the Christian church that I had been divorced from for some 30 years.
Give us some kind of perspective, Tom, on how someone like yourself could get involved in a cult. What was the draw?
I think for different people, there are different things. This whole process of healing, of coming out of a cult, has helped me to think back over my entire childhood. You know, where was it? What was that defining moment, or what was that point about my life that was deficient in such a way that would lead me to embrace a cult? I would have to say there were a couple things. One is that I needed to be loved. You know, my family, unfortunately, was a bit dysfunctional. And one of the hallmarks of a cult is welcoming, loving, warm, family-type atmosphere, and I found that in the Worldwide Church of God. The other thing was, at that time, I had a tremendous inferiority complex. By coming to a cult and having this esoteric knowledge, that gave me a leg up on other people and took care of that particular need that I had.
Describe Armstrongism for those who are not familiar with the Worldwide Church of God and the transition it's gone through from cultism to the cross. Armstrongism for you was a cultic doctrine. Why?
In essence, and I will try to sum up a rather long story. Herbert Armstrong can only be understood as a man in his time. Coming to the pulpit in the 30s, a time of world unrest, a time when there was fear that Nazism indeed would prevail and take over the free world. Great fear in our land. And Herbert Armstrong saw also at the same time in the Christian church an easy believism, a lack of a desire to, or a lack of obedience to the law. So he basically crafted a message out of obedience to the law and the soon return of Jesus Christ to solve all of our problems. That's it in a nutshell.
Would you characterize Armstrongism as millennial madness?
Yes, absolutely.
That was the focus of your magazine, the focus of the ministry, the focus of how people were galvanized together around a cult of leader?
Right. It was not a focus on Jesus Christ, the sacrificed Lord, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. It was a focus on Jesus Christ, the conquering king, coming back to rule all nations, and those of us in that particular church, the Worldwide Church of God, would rule with him. And with a rod of iron, break the knees of those that wouldn't bow to Christ and keep his commandments. It was a promise of paradise on earth.
Mm-hmm. When you think about the legalism of Armstrongism, you have told me on several occasions that you had this feeling from time to time that you were, in fact, saved, that you were all right with God. But that feeling ebbed and flowed. It was a completely, a feeling that was completely dependent on where you were at any given time. If you had broken some laws or knew you weren't quite right with God, you had the feeling of not being saved, not being part and parcel of the kingdom of God.
We would use the term, not so much saved, but making it into the kingdom, you know. And most of the time we would say, I hope I make it. And if I'd had several good days that I'd strung together of keeping all the laws of God, then I felt good about myself. And I was certain then that, well, fairly certain that, you know, I had made it, that I would make it into the kingdom. At the same time, if I'd had several bad days, then I felt that I may not make it.
Mm-hmm. Talk about some of the distinctives of Armstrongism. Obviously, there was salvation by an adherence to legalism, but there are many other distinctions or distinctives that people may not be familiar with. For example, people involved in this cult would not use cosmetics or would not use medicine.
Excuse me. There was a belief of the all-pervasive involvement of God in every detail of one's life, and that for every detail there was a dictum, whether it was wearing makeup, whether it was making use of medical science, even down to our dietary laws, which were lifted basically out of the Old Testament and then applied to modern life. For example, we were told it's best not to eat white bread, only eat brown bread. White sugar is bad, brown sugar is good. That is, you know, legalism basically gone to seed.
Interesting. We're talking to Tom LaPaca. His book, Out of the Shadows, is a wonderful example of a person who has embraced a cult, who is completely enmeshed in cultic doctrine, that comes out of the shadows into the brilliant light of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And this book, I think, is so edifying, Tom, because it not only tells your story, and that's the primary focus, but it's telling the story of an entire movement that comes out of cultism to the cross. And I think for people who are involved in counter-cult ministry, this is an incredible encouragement, because it is demonstrating that not just individuals can be transformed, but as individuals are transformed, whole movements can be transformed.
It is the testimony of the power of God's Word used by the Holy Spirit to transform an organization. And as far as I know, certainly in modern times, there's no parallel. I understood that maybe in the 6th century there was some obscure group that experienced the same thing, but in modern times, certainly since the Reformation, there's been nothing like this at all. It's a change that had no roadmap to follow.
Joseph Tkach Sr. followed Herbert Armstrong.
Correct.
You characterize him in the book as a courageous man.
Yes.
Who made changes that were not for any personal benefit.
Absolutely.
You look at what the Worldwide Church of God has done, and you say, look, there is no rational way that anyone would do this unless they were committed to a principle,
right.
The principle being that we're saved by God's grace through faith,
right.
In Jesus Christ alone.
Yes, why would someone make the kind of changes that he made and be prepared to lose, as they eventually did, at least a third of their membership and tremendous amount of revenue loss?
We're talking about millions.
Millions lost. And essentially what it boiled down to, as I mentioned in my book, is that there came a moment when he had to stand for truth. And it was a difficult decision to make. We had this pastor out in Georgia who was preaching grace. And there were those voices that encouraged him and other voices coming to Joseph Tkach saying, you've got to shut this man down. And it was on Christmas Eve of all times, on Christmas Eve, that Joseph Tkach went to Atlanta, and we had no idea what he was going to do. And he stood up in that congregation, and he essentially said, what this man has been preaching is true. We are saved by grace. You don't have to keep the Sabbath to be saved. Well, that rocked the entire church, and that began to have repercussions that even he could not imagine.
Amazing how he made this transition and how he died, as you describe in the book, holding his wife's hand and went into eternity,
yes.
With Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He was a man, as I described in the book, like all men, a man with weaknesses, but a man essentially of great faith. And he took that step of faith, proclaiming grace of God in Jesus Christ, and being used as a tool by God to help liberate an entire church body.
He could not have had any conception whatsoever of what would take place as a result of what he started.
And he had none. He thought, because I remember discussions in which I was a part, he thought there would be minimal fallout. But the fallout was enormous. Because grace revolutionizes. And that's what happened in the Reformation. When Martin Luther began talking about grace instead of works, it revolutionized the church. It reformed the church.
Tom, I remember back in 1993, 1994, sitting down with you and with Greg Albrecht and Joseph Tkach, Jr., who is now the pastor general of the Worldwide Church of God, Mike Frizzell, and some others. And we talked about some of the tactical issues that you faced as a body. You did not want to galvanize your constituency around splinter groups. You wanted, in essence, to reach a mission field on your very own doorstep.
Absolutely. And that was a tremendous challenge. When you consider for a moment, there were those, if I can use the term, those enlightened in the leadership, those who had come clearly to the cross of Christ, and now you're looking out upon these tens of thousands of people that you realize you'd had a part in misleading, in programming a certain way of thinking, and now you had to go back to them and say, by the way, what we taught you about the Sabbath is not true. By the way, what we taught you about many other things is not true. You begin then tactically to say, where do we begin? How do we begin to turn the clock back? How do we begin to move these people to the cross, out of the shadows into the light of truth in the Son of God?
One of the interesting parts of your book, and something that we've talked about personally, is your description of people in counter-cult ministry that you describe as the hounds of hell.
Yes.
Elaborate on that.
Well, I think these people are well-intentioned, but I think there's a fundamental flaw in their worldview. They tend to look at people in cults as the enemy rather than as human beings that need a Savior just like they need a Savior. I found that in most cases they were very suspicious, and rightly so, but there was not, in most cases, there was not this encouragement to continue on this search for truth and this walk with Christ. Rather, in many cases, there were these demands that you must do this now, otherwise you will not be accepted. There were those like yourself who gave encouragement, who said, I understand that you have tactical issues. The main thing, though, now is you're embracing Christ. And now how do you tactically take this message throughout the church? There was no roadmap to follow. And I believe these people in the countercult groups, they weren't prepared for success.
Hmm. Well said. We're talking to an extraordinary gentleman, Thomas Lapaca. He is the author of a book that we are featuring today. It is entitled Out of the Shadows, Finding God's Truth in a World of Deception. He acknowledges that Armstrongism was a cult, and he has been a part of the transition of an entire cult, an unprecedented event in church history, an entire cult coming out of cultism to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great encouragement for people who are involved in ministry. If this can happen with the worldwide Church of God, perhaps it can happen with Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormonism or you name it. This is a great opportunity to really treasure the words of Thomas Lapaca, who said they were not prepared for success. Do we really believe that God can not only change individuals but entire movements through the power of the Holy Spirit? We're coming right back with more of my interview with Thomas Lapaca in just a few moments. Please don't touch that dial.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Today's conversation with Thomas Lapaca gives only the highlights of his remarkable journey from darkness and deception to the reality of Jesus Christ in his life. Find out more in Out of the Shadows, available from the Christian Research Institute. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man will continue right after this. It has all the trappings of Orthodox Christianity, a statement of faith that appears legitimate, and a hope in the eternal. Yet a deeper look reveals a snare of spiritual fraud and mind control. Out of the Shadows by Thomas Lapaca is the autobiographical story of one man's slide into the abyss of deceptions, false prophecy, spiritual abuse, and subversion of the gospel. But Lapaca experienced a miraculous transformation as the worldwide Church of God owned up to its theological errors, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he began a journey from the shadows of legalism into the full light of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Let the light of truth shine in your own life or in the life of someone you know. Order Out of the Shadows, available from CRI right now. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website, www.equip.org.
By you and your example, you're one of the heroes of my faith.
We really appreciate your ministry. Thank you.
I appreciate your teaching that you present.
Every day, the Bible Answer Man broadcast is touching the lives of people around the world with solid biblical answers from God's Word. That's why your partnership with us is so critical. Become a Bible Answer Man monthly radio support team member. Your commitment to make a monthly gift helps to keep the Bible Answer Man broadcast on the air. As a Bible Answer Man support team member, you maximize the reach and influence of the Bible Answer Man broadcast around the world. As our way of saying thank you, you'll receive a copy of Hank's powerful book, Christianity in Crisis. You'll also receive a free one-year subscription to the Christian Research Journal. Call toll-free 888-7000-CRI today and say you'll become a Bible Answer Man support team member. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can even sign up over the internet at www.equip.org.
What are the secrets to real intimacy with God? Jesus knew. He would often retreat to a secluded place to have intimate fellowship with the Father. So why is it so difficult for us to achieve this same intimacy? Best-selling author Hank Hanegraaff wants to take you to the next level in understanding the mystery of prayer. That was his motivation in writing The Prayer of Jesus. Using the Lord's Prayer as a guide, Hank shows you Jesus' sevenfold secret of prayer, as found in his own words. You'll embark on a truly exhilarating expedition that will change your prayer life forever. The Prayer of Jesus, the latest work by Hank Hanegraaff,
As CRI's way of thanking you for your gift today, we would like to send you a copy of The Prayer of Jesus. Call CRI right now and begin a deeper closeness with God. 888-7000-CRI. Please specify whether you'd like book form, audio cassette, or CD. That's 888-7000-CRI.
We're back with more of the conversation with Hank and Thomas Lapaca. To join us on air with your question or comment, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
I'm excited today because I have an opportunity to sit across from my good friend Thomas Lapaca, who is now Executive Director for Communications and Public Affairs for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And he has just an extraordinary story, a personal story of having been involved in a cult, coming out of that cult. And I've watched his personal transition, how he has grounded himself. And one of the fascinating things in reading the book that we're featuring today, Out of the Shadows, is you see a man who has so grasped the essentials of the historic Christian faith, is so grounded. And I suppose, Tom, there's a reason for that. You probably never want to fall for a lie again.
I never want to fall for a lie again. As I mentioned in my book, my quest in life was truth. I always wanted to know, what is God's truth? And that led me into the Worldwide Church of God, because Herbert Armstrong promised very dogmatically, I have the truth. And I believed. I believed with my heart and soul. And if you can imagine believing something from age 12 until age 50, and then one day waking up and realizing it was a lie. Virtually everything, every major and many minor doctrines that I held to be absolute, delivered by God, Mount Sinai experience type of things, I began to realize, and I realized suddenly, no, it's not true. And then I said, but I still must know truth. And I began to study into church history, historical theology, for that very reason, not only to know the truth, but as you said, so that I would never believe a lie again.
So familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. What was it like for you to know that this was not just something you were facing as an individual, but you had, in essence, as the leader of your family, subjected your family to these kinds of cultic doctrines and practices?
That is another one of those disturbing moments in one's life, because I raised two very fine boys in the doctrine of Armstrong. And as a result of that, they were raised rather harshly. It was harsh discipline, obedience, living up to an impossible standard of perfection. And my boys, they had, and they do have still great respect for me. And then when I came to them later, you know, now they're young men, and I said, sons, what I taught you was wrong. Mm. For my older son in particular, that shook him. Shook him more than I could begin to realize. And I had to go back and with each of them to explain the gospel, which I'd never explained to them before. And then also to ask for forgiveness for what I had done.
Wow. How's Linda doing?
Linda's doing well. Linda's doing very well. Linda is grounded in belief in Jesus Christ. She holds on to that tenaciously. She knows she is saved by grace through faith. But, you know, there's one thing, not only for Linda, for me, and I would say for all of my brethren who've come out of the Worldwide Church of God, the Armstrongism, is you never totally get over it. Mm. There are always vestiges there. There are always certain ways of thinking or feeling that come back to haunt you. And you have to come back to basic truth. One of the cries of Martin Luther when he found himself under siege with his own sins and problems, he would say, but I'm baptized. And I come back to that, and I say, I'm baptized. I belong to Christ. I'm forgiven. And I rest in that forgiveness.
That was one of the beauties of your story, is
when you came out of cultism to Christ, you wanted to visibly identify with the body of Christ
yes.
through baptism.
Yes.
You were baptized as a child. You got baptized again.
Yes. And that was a difficult thing. It's one thing to address the question of tithing, Sabbath keeping, holy day keeping. In a way, it's somewhat external. When you begin to address the question of your own baptism, you know, now you're getting very, very personal. And that was the most personal thing of all for me. I decided to be rebaptized based on the fact that I was baptized, although I was baptized in the name of the triune God, the Worldwide Church of God at that time denied the Trinity. I wanted to publicly say, I accept the Trinity. I wanted to publicly say, I repudiate Armstrong's baptism. I wanted to publicly say, I embrace Orthodox Christianity. And I wanted to be sure that in this baptism that I was baptized by an Orthodox Christian.
One of the beauties, Tom, as I look at you, is you not only came out of a cult, that's part of the story. But there's so much more to that story. You came out of a cult, and now you are making a difference in the lives of other people. And I've seen this over and over again. I've seen people who have come out of Jehovah's Witnesses or out of the Watchtower organization who now are leading Christians to effectively communicate the gospel to other people who do not yet believe. And you, in essence, have really fortified your life so you can do that and become a reproducing disciple maker yourself.
Yes. I think you've got two choices to make, Hank. One is to basically never get over your anger and your disappointment and then to withdraw from the Christian church. The other is to embrace historic Christianity wholeheartedly. And the grace of Christ in one compels you to tell the story, compels you to say, I have found my peace, I have found my Sabbath. His name is Jesus.
You know, that's a beautiful thing in and of itself, and you write about this in the book. There's so many little trails within the book that are fascinating, but that is one of the stories you tell so well. In Armstrongism, you did not believe that you could go to church on Sunday. You had to worship on the Sabbath. And now you, as you just communicated, and as you write in the book, you found your Sabbath rest in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He's the substance that fulfills all the types and shadows, the civil and ceremonial aspects of the law. Jesus Christ is the substance. And when you even describe that, both in writing and personally, there's a light that goes on in your eye.
Oh, absolutely. And hence the title of the book. It's taken out of Colossians, Let No Man Judge You Regarding Holy Days, New Moons, etc. They're only shadows. I lived in the shadows. I lived with things that were hollow, things that were pointers, way markers. I did not have the substance, and the substance is in Christ. And now that I have Christ, why do I need the things in the shadow?
Describe, just on a personal level, Tom, the difference that it makes to a person who is trying to work his or her way into God's righteousness and is overwhelmed with the burden of trying to become righteous, to taking this place where you have the freedom of receiving the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, covered with a foreign righteousness, as Paul describes it, a
yes.
righteousness not of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ.